Hi, everyone. Welcome to this episode of Married to His Will. If you're joining me for the first time, a special welcome to you. I haven't had a guest in a while, so that's definitely going to happen very soon. But it's been great just to talk to you and be personal. And in this episode, I'm going to be even more personal because I think I have some confessions to make, right? This is a podcast where I really feel like it's important that I'm transparent and that my journey is helping someone along the way. So today's episode, I just want to express what God has been teaching me. And as he gives it to me, I want to give it to you. Because I know that my testimony is for you. So while you're at it, please don't forget to like and subscribe if you're watching on YouTube, okay? And hit that notification bell because you want to, you know, be notified when I post a new video. Typically, I try to have my videos posted by Monday morning. Lately, that has not been happening, so forgive me for being tardy with them, but I hope to get back to that. Either way, I strive to get it to you before Wednesday at the latest. And so, you know, life happens and I have to go with the flow. I think I'm being very flexible with myself, very gracious. And that is something you should try being, okay, towards yourself. So again, I'm Suzette Blunt, your host. Actually, I'm not Blunt anymore. I have to forgive me. I have to get used to saying Williams again. So if you hear me coughing in this podcast, it's because I'm still dealing with a cough. And as I said that, I was feeling it coming. So yes, I finally got some medicine from my doctor. I'm hoping it's working, but I think I need to do some other things at night because I was hacking yesterday. I mean, like coughing throughout the night and just really interrupted my sleep. So I'm actually recording at night. It is Saturday night, and I have created the ambiance in here. I have my candle lit. I don't know if you can see it that well in the background. If you're not watching, don't worry about it. But you're listening. I'm happy you're here. Okay. So in today's episode, I'm talking about patience, and I'm talking about, you know, temptation. So the question I have for you today is, what is your lack of patience going to cost you? I want you to think about that. I have thought about that this week, and there's a reason for that. So I told you at the beginning that I wanted to confess something, right? I want to come clean because this girl has got something on her mind, right? I'm what you call a good girl, right? Like I've always tried to live a clean path and a righteous path, but in no way am I perfect. Okay. I am not Miss Perfect. And being unmarried has put me in a position where I'm recently feeling like I have these desires springing up again, right? Like, I started off with my divorce feeling like, ooh, I'm so happy. I'm content, right? I really wasn't feeling like I had any sexual desires, right? Like I was okay. I was fine, y'all. But recently, I've been having a conversation with someone, right? We've had very good conversations, you know? Nothing unholy. It was very righteous, wonderful, riveting. I mean, conversations that we would even debate the word of God. It's beautiful. However, it got into a little unholy stuff, right? And those conversations began to be enticing to me. And I found myself just having a desire for more, you know, like an experience that I've never had. And as the woman that I am, someone who I mean, I love the gift that God gave us, right? To be able to enjoy our spouse. But in this case, I am no longer married, right? I don't have someone who legally I have access to, right? To enjoy the wonderful gift of a marriage and sex as God designed it. So I started to be enticed by the conversation and fed into this desire that I was having. And it felt good, you know, even in the moment, you know, that kind of pleasure is, it feels good. Like, who says sin feels bad? Nobody. They'll be telling a lie. But, you know, after being enticed and, you know, things like that, I remember that anytime I feel like I'm falling into sin, it's not as if I'm not someone who talks to God, right? I am someone who prays. I'm someone who likes to read the word. And so in my having to talk to God, I found that I didn't want to talk to him, because if I talk to him, you know, I have to confess some things. And I'm like, God, I hate to have to say, please forgive me again, because I have fallen. I have had really unholy conversations and really bad moments that were not of God. And I began to think about how guilty I felt. And then I talked with the Lord and I was transparent before him and I felt better, right? And one of the things I'm grateful for is that this individual and I are so far apart. There was no coming together. It would take quite a while to even reach each other. They're in a whole other country, okay? And so, and then again, we both know that, or we both acknowledge that we were just talking. Like, there was nothing to it. God has given me a promise on my life, and I can identify if this is not the person God has for me. And sometimes we go with the flow and in the moment with someone, and we know in our heart that God does not design that, but we continue anyway for the moment. And I began to think, as I walk through this temptation and walk through what my flesh is desiring, I start to think about the story of Abraham and Sarah and all the people that have had promises on their lives, you know, how that was impacted when they went against God, when they did not wait for the promise to be fulfilled, when they were too impatient and they allowed themselves, their own will, to come in the way. And I thought about my own will. My will would be that the person that God has for me show up now, and that we decide we're going to get married, because we know you, God chose you for me. Let's do it. But God is so clear to me today. When I tell you, he emphatically told me, it's just not the time. It's not time. And I before I even received that word from God, I started to doubt God. When I went through this whole phase of weakness and wanting someone else and wanting or having a desire for more, yearning in my flesh to feed this flesh, you know, it's so easy to feed the desire through enticing words and make it grow bigger. We have to be so careful that we don't feed our temptation. The scripture says in James chapter 14, James 1 actually in verse 14. I'm going to read that for you. I'm going to actually read that the chapter from the verse from verse 12 to 17. So you can get more clarity. Blessed, and I'm reading the Amplified version. Blessed, happy, spiritually prosperous, favored by God is the man who is steadfast under trial and perseveres when tempted. For when he has passed the test and been approved, he will receive the victor's crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For temptation does not originate from God, but from our own flaws. Another version says, from our own lusts. For God cannot be tempted by what is evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each one is tempted when he is dragged away. This is the verse I'm focusing on, verse 14. Each of us is tempted when he is dragged away, enticed, and baited to commit sin by his own worldly desire, lust, passion. Then when the illicit desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And when sin has run its course, it gives birth to death. Do not be misled, my beloved brothers and sisters. Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above. It comes down from the Father of lights, the creator and sustainer of the heavens, in whom there is no variation, no rising or setting, or shadow cast by his turning. For he is perfect and never changes. Amen. When I think about this, I'm like, God, I'm so afraid to lose. The cost is too great when it comes to what I have to lose. So when I ask you the question, what will your lack of patience cost you? I'm asking myself that question because I don't want to delay what God has emphatically told me he has for me. So I was saying that the thought about how I was dealing with this temptation, it felt good in the moment. I allowed myself to be captivated by this and by the conversation, because it felt good. I mean, that's the honest truth. As I mentioned, I went from married to being single, now having to navigate a new phase of dealing with the desire that my body has for sex. And I thought about how this is not even fulfilling me because, I mean, the person is not here. But even so, how would I feel if I had that need fulfilled and I knew that this is going no further, that this is not the promise on my life? Granted, all the thoughts came to me during that time that, well, maybe what you're waiting for is not of God. Maybe what you think you know is not even happening. And that's where my impatience spoke to me and said, you don't have to hold on to anything you heard before. But then with all of that conversation in my mind to negate the promise, it's then having me doubt everything I ever heard from God. Then if that's not true, then should I have gotten divorced? Because then did I hear the Lord tell me this? Like, what did God tell me? So between the time of my separation to this moment has been a period of testing, right? And there's more time to go. Like, I'm not there yet at the promise God told me he has for me. So I have to continue to trust that what the Lord told me is true. But here comes a moment where I'm starting to doubt because something has enticed me. And I'm thinking, well, this person that I thought God said is. And I mean, again, we all have free will, so God could be operating in a different way. But in this case, I know this is not the promise, right? So I need to also be careful. Even if I don't believe that who I think it is who it is, I need to still be careful, because if what I think is, or who I think is not the promise, God was giving me a glimpse of what is to be with someone else. And in that case, it's not going to be unholy. It's going to be what God designs. And so I had to recognize that it would cost me too much to allow myself to intentionally sin. And granted, I've already intentionally sinned, because lust begins in the heart, right? It doesn't just happen when the act happens. And there are many people who are divorced, and I empathize with you, having gone through this experience, who go through a wild phase. I've had people tell me this, right? They go through a wild phase, the phase where they want to experience something new, and so they decide to get wild, right? And so I have to say that it may feel good in the moment, but what I have is too great to lose. And I have to protect that. So how do I protect that? Well, the Bible says, blessed are the pure in heart, right? Because they shall see God. In the Amplified Version in Matthew 5, verse 8, it said, blessed, anticipating God's presence, spiritually mature are the pure in heart. Those with integrity, moral courage, and godly character, for they will see God. Right? And then Psalms 27, verse 14 says, and this really encourages me, wait for and confidently expect the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. I want to be morally strong. I want to be confident and wait with expectation from the Lord. I think about where I am in this season and how God has chosen to elevate me to a place where I'm worship pastor. And I thought, yeah, right now, right? I've done this kind of work before, but it feels different in this season as a single mother, and sometimes just feeling, actually, I went through many periods where I felt like I'm too weak, and the Lord would blow my mind and use me in a way that I did not expect. I realized that I'm stronger than I think, and that His strength is made perfect in my weakness. And though I fall short of His glory, the Word also said He will never leave me nor forsake me. I will not glory in my weakness. And so I can always go to the throne room of grace. Because I'm naked and vulnerable before God, I cannot hide anything from Him. So to have a pure heart doesn't mean that you never sin. But that sin will not go unconfessed. Like, no matter where I find myself, no matter how low I get, no matter how far I go, I can always come before my Father. Or else I'm trying to avoid Him, right? For a moment, I'm like, oh, I don't want to talk to God. I know I got to talk to Him, right? Because He's chosen me. I talk to Him. And I say, God, forgive me. I know that I chose to sin. And I know that there are consequences for sin. But I don't want that sin to develop the way He said it would develop in the scripture in James 1. When it talks about when sin is conceived. I'm like, wow. So each one is tempted when he's dragged away, enticed, and baited. So it's something that's pulling me, right, to commit sin by his own worldly desire, lust, passion. And this doesn't only have to mean sex. This could come in many temptations out there. But the Bible also said there's no temptation common to man that he won't deliver you from, or he can't deliver you from. I've even said that, and temptation can also be struggle. But in this case, we're talking about the temptation to sin. when the illicit desire has conceived, when that desire has been gone from thought to your heart, now it's a seed, you're ready to commit the sin. When you have given birth to that sin, when it's run its course, when it's done, when you've done it, when it becomes a fruit, it gives birth to death. The wages of sin, we know, is death. And that scared me. I do not want to give birth to death. I do not want anything that I conceived in my heart at the beginning of this journey as God was leading me out of bondage to lead to death. I've been through too much to begin to give up. And I was ready to give up in one moment and start to doubt. I believe God's word with all my heart. I believe that he speaks to me. I believe that he's spoken to me. And that what I have shared from the beginning is true. And as I walk this journey, I want to hold on with every fiber of my being to what he said is true. I don't want to walk in accordance to what man tells me or explains to me based on what I see in the flesh. It's easy for me to succumb to my own thoughts. But what does the Bible say? And I talked about thoughts last week a lot. Trust in the Lord. Proverbs 5 or Proverbs 6. Anyway, verse 3 to 5. I'll post it here. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways. Everything, all your ways, all your doings, acknowledge him first, right? Acknowledge him and he will direct your path. So what are you trying to do next? What is tempting you? What is your lack of patience going to cost you? If you don't wait for what God says for you to wait for and you decide to jump ahead of God, that will be of your own will and your own volition. I see God already knows if you're going to do it or not, and he calibrates it. But who knows if that's going to delay something that you could have received sooner than later? Because what is it giving birth to? Is it going to cause death? Is the cost for us losing someone that God had for you? Is the cost for you, you know, greater than you could receive, conceive in your mind? I pray that by the grace and mercies of God, we haven't lost the fight. But even in this, forgiveness is ours. Healing is mine. Now I can see the things I struggle with. Now I'm seeing myself again that though I'm a born again, steadfast believer, that I'm prone to sin. But thank God the blood of Jesus reigns over my life. And He, the God of Abraham and Isaac, he, the God of David, right? David was a man after God's own heart. And when he sinned, he was vulnerable before God. And when he could not see himself, he sent even Nathan the prophet to speak to him. And in that, David was able to repent. He was a man of pure heart because his heart was given to God. So not because you are perfect while your heart is pure, but it's truthful, it's honest, it is transparent before God. And my heart has been given to God. And even when I fall short and I know I've sinned, even intentionally, I know I have to face him. I know I have to remain accountable to him. And so I dare not fool myself in thinking that I'll get away with anything. So in this season, I solicit your prayers as I also pray for you. Because this walk is a daily dying, right? And I will take up my cross and follow him. I will wait confidently in expectation of him, because I know that the promise will be fulfilled. I know that his love is upon me, and no matter how long it takes, his glory will be manifested in my life. And it's because of his hand on my life. It's because of how he chose me and because of what he wants to accomplish in the earth. Why I must wait. I must wait. So, even in that, when you have sinned, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So let's walk in the Spirit and walk according to his will, not our own will, because our will makes sense to us, but is not necessarily aligned with God's will. So we want to come under his word and get in alignment. And so today I shared how my temptation was getting the best of me. However, I have put it under the blood. I have confessed my faults, even to you. And I'm telling you, the journey is not easy as a single unmarried, because I was married, now I'm unmarried. And I am sometimes enticed by my own desire, my own fleshly world desire. And so I put my desires under the scripture, under scrutiny of the scriptures. I allow the word of God to examine me, especially when I have fallen, to see how can I be stronger so that I don't allow myself to be drawn away by something that I see or something that I want that does not belong to me. I reserve my desires for the ultimate day that he gives me what is mine. I'd rather have what he has for me than to take something that's going to put me in bondage again. Because I want his will to be done. And I'm open to the move of God. And that his choice will be my choices. I want to make choices because he's given me free will. So at the end of the day, I'm going to make the choice. But I am choosing his choice for my life, his will, and may it be so as I have heard him say. I'm going to believe and I'm going to trust him in Jesus' name. And I want to pray for you that you will hold on. Let's pray for each other, because we know it's not easy in the world in today's culture. It's easy to be enticed by what we see every day on television, you know, or just social media. I mean, there's nothing enticing me on social media right now, but just our daily conversation. There's a scripture that I think it's 1 Timothy that talks about we have to be an example to the believers. In word, conversation, in spirit, and in unity. And I thought about that conversation. That's where it starts. What's coming out of our mouth? That's going to create the worlds we're in, right? So when I'm enticing conversations that are lustful and it's something to entice my flesh. I have to be careful because that's not an example. It's not a good example, even for my children. And so I have a lot to lose. So what would it cost you if you go the wrong way and not abide by the word of God? What will it cost you if you don't wait? Think on that, because the cost can be greater than you imagine. Count the cost, because what God has for you is much greater, and you don't want to lose out. God bless you, my friends. Father, I ask that you would reach out to that one that's struggling right now. They're struggling with their desires and their flesh, and their heart wants what it wants. And God, we know that you're able to keep us from falling and to present us faultless before you, God. And so help us to humble ourselves and to become morally strong in our hearts and our willpower over sin. We thank you that we can't save ourselves, but it's by your grace and the blood that covers us that we are sinless. Because our righteousness are as filthy rags, but we give you our unrighteousness. Because sometimes we try to do good and evil is present. But we thank you that you're always present, Lord. If we make our bed in hell, you are there. Lord, you are with us, and we thank you. Lord, I pray that you will help us to only feed the Spirit in this season, especially when we're most vulnerable to attacks and we've just transitioned into a new phase of life. Help us, oh God, to recognize the enemy and that we put the whole armor on, the whole armor of God, so that we may be able to stand in the evil day, to withstand the wiles of the devil, to withstand every temptation that he brings our way. Let's guard our hearts, Almighty God. Let's put on the breastplate of righteousness, the loins girded with truth, O God. Let us have the sword of the Spirit and the shield of faith, and our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Let our heads be covered with the helmet of salvation, O God. And let us have that shield of faith, Lord God, shielding us from every divisiveness of the enemy. O glory to God. Let us practice by faith your word today and believe you for the promise. In Jesus' name, amen. I pray that my testimony blessed you and that this podcast was good for you. I believe someone needed to know that even in this season, while you feel like you can't wait and maybe you don't see or believe anymore, just know God is with you and he will never leave you nor forsake you. And it's never too late to return to him, because his promises are yes and amen. God bless you. Remember, in all that you're doing, to stay married to his will.